Hello and welcome to Building Multi-Screen Applications for the Microsoft Ecosystem. This is part one of a multi-part screencast series. My name is Jeff Brand. I'm a developer evangelist for Microsoft based in Minneapolis. If you have any questions about this screencast, please feel free to post comments in Channel 9, or you can email me at jbrand@microsoft.com. You can also keep track of me on my website, slickthought.net, and follow me on Twitter at jabrand. What do we mean when we say multi-screen development? Most .NET developers can think right off the top of their head of the first two screens that we'll be talking about. One is the laptop and or desktop, and then obviously recently we've had the Windows Phone 7 platform emerge as another screen. But there is a third screen entering the marketplace today. You can go out and buy, and customers are acquiring and deploying tablets that run the Windows operating system. But even if we look further over the horizon in the future, we can see additional screens that would be leveraging the Xbox, for example, or maybe set-top box devices that would be targeting the television set. All of these screens have something in common, that they run some kind of Microsoft-based operating system, and in all likelihood will also be able to run a flavor of the Microsoft Silverlight platform as well, which would mean that we can use Visual Studio as the primary development environment for targeting these multiple screens. Just to give a quick example, though, some of the things we need to worry about is that if we were to compare features across these various platforms, they do vary, even though they may all be a type of Microsoft operating system, and maybe they can all even run Silverlight. You can see that there are some differences. In the core .NET platform, obviously, we can do everything. With Silverlight version 4 today, we can pretty much do everything that we can do in .NET. It's a very rich subset. But if we move over to things like Windows Phone, for example, it's running not only a different flavor of Silverlight, but even its .NET core features are a little bit different. For example, a simple example to highlight is that it can't run the Microsoft Extensibility Framework. And then if we look at something as diverse as the Xbox 360 platform, we can see there's even a smaller platform of some of the core things that we can do around .NET. One thing that will make your life a lot easier, and just to keep in the back of your mind, is that we're trying to address the problem of developing for these multi-platforms by using the Portable Library Project. The Portable Library Project is currently in CTP, or Community Technology Preview, which means that I'm not going to focus on it for the purposes of this screencast series. We'll look at how to build multi-screen solutions today without using the PLP. But in the future, you will want to leverage the PLP. So I pointed out here just so that you can be aware of its existence and that we are working on a slightly easier way to solve this problem. If you'd like to get more information about the PLP and what exactly it will offer, I recommend you check out Sean Burke's screencast that's available on the MicrosoftPDC.com site on demand. So just go there and look for the three screen coding session that Sean delivered back in October of last year. But for today, how would we get started building a multi-screen application? The first step will be to develop a portable code library, but in this case, what we'll do is we'll target Silverlight 3 as the environment that we'll build our class library in. And then what we'll need to do for each of the specific projects that targets a particular screen, we'll just need to add a reference to our class library. Now be aware that, for example, in Windows Phone, when I go and add this Silverlight 3 class library that I developed, you may get a warning from Visual Studio. Go ahead and ignore that warning and add it up anyway. A couple other things you want to be aware of. If you're going to reference a DLL inside of your Silverlight 3 class library, which is our portable code library, you want to make sure that you add the correct version of that assembly to your Silverlight 3 project. So for example, if you needed to add a reference to something like system.xml.link, make sure you're referencing the Silverlight 3 version of that DLL and not the Silverlight 4. After that, we'll just be able to add this into any of our UX projects and target whichever screen we'd like to target. Obviously, once I'm inside, for example, a Silverlight 4 user experience project, I can add references to the Silverlight 4 project that it may need and use the Silverlight 4 versions of those assemblies. Make sure you test as you move forward. Seems kind of a no-brainer thing, but sometimes you may stumble across something that's a little bit different. What's the key to building these types of portable code libraries with Silverlight 3? Well, if you've been doing any Silverlight development, you'll probably not be surprised to see that MVVM is the key. If you haven't been introduced to MVVM in the past, there's a ton of great resources available to you on the internet. Just do a Bing search for Silverlight MVVM and you'll be good to go. I'll provide a very quick overview of MVVM here, but you should explore the design pattern in a little bit more detail before you embark on developing your first multi-screen application. With MVVM, what we're essentially going to do is create an application that's a collection of views, view models, and models. In particular, a page of an application usually is constructed of one or more views used to display information to a user that provide the UX with the interaction points for an application. These views are usually just Silverlight user controls that contain a particular feature or function in the application, and that has all of the data templates and controls necessary to accomplish a particular task. So, for example, we may create a user control view that displays a list of customers for a database. So it would have a list control in it, all the data templates for formatting the customers, and whatever other maybe sorting and filtering features that we would want to expose to the user as part of that particular view. The code that we share among the various views and view models is really kind of put into the view model itself, which really serves as an adapter and an intermediary between the view and the actual data or the actual model that our application uses. It helps us simplify the data binding into the view and also provides a way to expose interaction endpoints from the view to the model. For example, the view model may expose a save command that the view calls to tell the view model it needs to save updates, and then the view model handles interacting with the actual model of saving whatever updates have been performed inside of the view. And the model essentially is just the entity objects that we're going to be using in our application. These could be custom crafted for their application. They could be coming from a database or from a web service. And there's a little bit of a debate over who should be responsible for handling those remote interactions, the view model, the model, some auxiliary service. I'll let you explore those debates on your own. But what's important to understand is that it is this code that we're going to want to share among the various platforms that we're targeting for our multi-screen application. Now, in reality, what ends up happening in the multi-screen world is that we're not going to really be building a lot of reusable views. The reason primarily being is that when you think of the disparity between the various platforms in the actual physical screen real estate, there's not going to be a lot of scenarios where I can create, for example, a customer list and reuse that customer list view in the exact same way between a desktop application and then a very small screen form factor like Windows Phone, and then kind of an intermediary screen size touch-enabled interface with a tablet. We may want to come up with customized views, and so what we'll do is really focus on our shared code library consisting primarily of view models and models. In later screencasts, I will show you how you could use some shared views inside of this library, but our primary focus will be on the view models and the model. Now, there's lots of different things that actually make sense to also go in there beyond just view models and models themselves. Well, I may be putting some business logic in there. Certainly, validation code makes a good sense to put in there. Any kind of serialization, service access, maybe my authentication code. Really, anything that makes sense to be shared across multiple UIs is pretty straightforward. And I would want to put this into the code that I'm going to port from one screen to another. Again, it's up to you. Think about your application, think about your design, and make the right decisions. There's no universal guidelines here that you would have to follow. Give you a little bit of an idea of where we'll be going with this screencast series before we dive into Visual Studio and look at getting the basics set up. What we're going to do is start today with building out the foundation, getting our class library set up, and then we'll start to actually create the reusable code, show how we'd use that in a Silverlight app, then show how we would move that to a WP7 app. We'll expand the UX to provide some more than just a real simple example. We'll provide some additional functionality. We'll show you how you can use Visual Studio to expand out and integrate cloud services and provide a little bit of screen unifying services between the different environments that you're working against. Certainly we'll look at, again, sharing some artifacts, things like reusable views between the various platforms. We'll also take a look at maybe optimizing some of our specific user experiences for the platform that we're on. So what could we do to optimize, for example, the Windows Phone experience around this reusable code library? I mean, how would we optimize a tablet experience, but still using the same shared code library? And certainly I may come up with some other things as we go along. Leave some comments, send me some email on things that you may be interested in seeing in this screen series as well, and we'll try and squeeze those in as we go along. Well, with all of that, why don't we get to work and take a look at what's required to start laying the foundation for our application. Let's go ahead and take a look at the steps that we will use to get our basic class library set up to use in future screencasts. To get started, I would go ahead and create a new project. Probably would make this a solution, or will make it a solution, but the important step is really to add a Silverlight class library. We'll say OK. And the most important step here is to make sure that we pick Silverlight 3 as the version. That way we can reuse this code in Silverlight 4 in the wild, or Silverlight on the phone, or any other platform in the future that will be supporting Silverlight. We go ahead and say OK. Now what I'm going to do here is just jump into a finished solution that I've already set up, and we'll kind of walk through the different things that exist in the solution, and then we'll dive into using these pieces and parts in more detail in future screencasts. So if we look in the core folder here, this is where I've just stubbed out some very basic MVVM infrastructure. If you were using an MVVM framework from a third party, you would probably be replacing all of this with that MVVM framework. But just so we have a little bit of consistency between the screencasts and not having to worry about mapping some ideas between different frameworks, we'll just use a very basic MVVM solution here. So I just have a basic view model here, a base view model that implements iNotify property changed. We'll talk about the setup commands and things like that when we actually get into working with some of the views that we're going to build. I have an implementation of iMessage Bus. As you will experience as you build multi-screen solutions, you will break up the views in various ways that will differ from platform to platform. So we would like to be able to have a message bus, in this case a very simple one, that will allow us to publish messages from one view and have other views subscribe to those messages. So this message bus essentially just emits or exposes some methods on it, subscribe, unsubscribe, and publish, and just keeps track of the different messages and the subscribers inside of this class. And again, we'll see how we use that in future screencasts. I then also have an implementation of iCommand called Relay Command, and this is just a very simple implementation of a command object that will allow me to wire the various views that we'll create in XAML to the view models that we'll be creating based on the solutions. Now what we're going to do is build out a very simple Twitter application across various platforms just to allow us to search Twitter. It's a very simple example, but it lets us illustrate some concepts. So we'll be working with a tweet class that will contain the user, the message that the user posts, it in a little URI out to their image that they use in their Twitter profile. To get started, we're going to have a search service that really just allows me to go and search on hashtags, and the implementation of this is the Concrete Twitter Search Service. We are implementing this in async. We'll talk more about why we do that in some future screencasts, but as most of you probably know, Silverlight wants to do all of its network communication asynchronously, so we're exposing our search service in a similar fashion. And then the completed event args that let us see kind of what our results were from any searches that we do. And then I have a very basic implementation here of a search view model. It implements our base view model. It's going to take in an instance of iSearch service, which in this case we'll want to map that to a concrete implementation, our Twitter search service. It exposes a collection of tweets. It also has a property that shows what the current search tag is. It has a command that hangs off of it called search command, and then a constructor that's going to go ahead and just initialize our observable collection of tweets that are exposed here as the properties we saw before. And then in the base view model, you saw that I had this virtual method called setup commands. And this is just something I do in my view models. Other people certainly do it different in their frameworks, but it just gives me a one place that I can override this setup commands, and then I can just go in and wire up what should happen for the different commands that I'm exposing. So we have a search command of type relay command as a property, and I want to decide when can I execute, and we'll just be looking at the search tag that's being passed in from the view, and as long as it's not null, I can do a search command. And then the actual execution, which will basically just go out and wire up my search service's completed event and take any results that I've received and put those into my tweets collection, and then go ahead and do the search async. And we'll talk more about that as we start to build out the different client implementations here in future screencasts. So this code is available for download from my website, slickthought.net. You can go out and grab that and look at it. It sets the stage for where we'll be going in part two and beyond. And the very next step will be in part two, building a simple Silverlight view in the browser or out of browser, as your choice may be, to start to use our in-screen library. And then we'll progress on to things like Windows Phone, etc.